August 9th, Friday morning, 2019.
Amen, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. This week has been such a beautiful week. The Spirit has moved in a unique way, in a new way. And the way that the Holy Spirit has orchestrated the meetings and led them has been beautiful to see. We meet next door briefly before coming over here. And oftentimes there's more of a plan. And this week it's been, let's just see how the Lord moves. And it's been beautiful to see how the Lord has orchestrated everything. I wanted to read a scripture yesterday. Sherry actually read this, but I think it was really on my heart before we got to camp, and it's the 121st Psalm. It says, reading out of the NIV, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day and the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And it seems this week the Lord has really been encouraging us and showing how he watches over us and protects us. Just at the beginning of service, I know Brother Greg Olson has a testimony he'd like to share. Would you be willing to share that now, Greg?
Brother Stewart said last night, if God be for us, who can be against us? And that's truly been the testimony of my life. And I grew up on a small farm in south central Nebraska and with not a lot of money. And 2 weeks ago, I met with the governor of Nebraska, Pete Ricketts, and was able to witness to him what God has done in my life. So even God can use all of us in ways that we have no idea. And I told Governor Ricketts what I'm going to tell you guys today. On June 22nd of last year, we had a massive fire that destroyed my manufacturing plant in Alliance, Nebraska. And we were... obviously, it was devastating. It just completely destroyed everything. They didn't have water there. The fire hydrants they had taken out, and so they hauled water in, but the fire kept pushing back. It burned for 8 hours before they got control of it and smoldered for 2 weeks. But so it was like, you know, a huge kick in the stomach, obviously. So we put in a prayer request at the camp last summer of July, the North Battleford camp. And the intercessors prayed, everyone prayed. I was so thankful for that. And just really immediately upon that happening, the Lord started opening doors. And we were looking around for a place to go. The business I have is cattle supplements, and it's mostly a wintertime business. And if we didn't produce the product for our customers, we've been in business 30 years and built up quite a network of dealers and customers. And if they don't have product, they're going to buy it from somebody else. And if they start buying it from somebody else, you don't know if they'll ever come back. So we built a plant in Wilton, Iowa a few years ago. It took us a year to build. And even that was difficult to get done in a year. So I had kind of resigned myself to the fact that it was going to take a year and we were going to try to bring in product from our other facilities, but this one was the largest facility and there was no way we were going to be able to keep up. I met with my accountant and he told me that if we didn't get up and running by the 1st of December, we might go bankrupt. And so that was obviously stressful. But and then anyway, in July, we were looking around for a place to go, and God opened up to us a spot 80 miles from Alliance, Sydney, Nebraska. And we found a 90,000 square foot building that was empty and 10 acres of land we bought for a fraction of really what it was worth. The owner was a Christian man, and I have to believe that God moved on him to sell it to us at a good price. And so we found that late July, and Cabela's was in there with a 30-day lease. So we signed a contract on the end of July to get in there on the 1st of September, and when they could get Cabela's out. So we moved into the building the 1st of September. And of course, then it was Labor Day, but in a couple days. But we started manufacturing our product on the 2nd of October, 31 days later. Absolutely a miracle. There's just no way that could happen. We had to move. The building was, like I said, was empty. There was electricity there. The property we found had a railroad siding. It was out in the country. Everything was just perfect about this property. But the building was, like I said, it was empty. We had to move cookers in and a boiler. We had to build a room for the boiler. We had to get the boiler inspector to come in, and we had to get the fire marshal to come in and give us occupancy permits. We had to get contractors, electricians, piping, pipe fitters. It was exciting, but not in my wildest dreams did I think we could get it done that quickly. I offered my main operations manager. I told him, when my accountant told me we had to be up by the 1st of December, I told him I'd give him a $10,000 bonus if he got us going by the 1st of December. And he thought about it a little bit, and he says, well, what if I get up and running by the 1st of October? And I said, well, I'll give you a $20,000 bonus. And then he says, after taxes? And I said, okay, after taxes. I didn't think there was much chance of it happening. But anyway, we got it. It was the 2nd of October. So it was actually 31 days, not 30 days. But I gave him his bonus anyway because he deserved it. But I just give God the thanks. And I want to... Who am I that God would bless? But I just want to say this. We always ask for prayer, but don't be afraid to thank Him. I feel it's necessary to thank Him and to give Him the glory. And when the opportunity arises, then we need to shout it from the rooftop what He's done for us. And so... thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
We know that the Lord is interested in our work and providing for us. And, listen to Greg's story there is encouragement for all of us. Along that same lines, we have a prayer request this morning. For economic reasons, Dennis Darstead's job and several other management positions were unexpectedly cut at the mill last week. We would appreciate God's wisdom, guidance, and provision, as there aren't a lot of good jobs in our rural area. There might be more cuts that could affect other local church members, too. This was submitted by Dennis and Cindy Arstead. Let's just stand with them in this need, and if we have an intercessor that would be willing to pray for the Arsteds and for the other members of the community whose jobs might be impacted by the mill here, someone just lead out in a prayer, please.
These are my family people. Lord, I want to thank you today that you are always good. You have promised that you would provide for us for our every need. Your promises are yea and amen.
Amen, Lord. You have.
Father, we know that it's very distressing when things like this happen. When you lose your job and you don't know what the future holds. But, oh Lord, I know that they know you.
Amen, Lord.
I know that Dennis and Cindy are looking to you, oh Lord, and trusting in you that you would provide. Oh Lord, I pray that you would open doors on their behalf that would be miraculous. Lord, we have heard just the testimony now of our brother Greg and how you intervened in a miraculous way. Oh Lord, give them confidence in their hearts, Father. I pray that you would just encourage each member of that community that they would not despair, but they would just be trusting in you.
Yes.
Help us to be supportive as a church, oh
yes,
Lord.
Oh Lord. Hallelujah.
That we, if we have a word of encouragement or if we have a word of wisdom, whatever it is, that we would share it with those.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for each member of that community, and I thank you for the work that you have done in that church, oh Lord. They have had many difficulties, and yet they have stood firm in their trust in you, oh Lord. I pray that you would just plant a blessing upon each member of that community. I ask that you would protect those who are working at the mill, oh Lord, that their jobs would be safe, Father.
Yes, amen.
I thank you and I praise you. As a congregation, we worship you.
We bless your name.
Amen. We bless you, oh God, and we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the moving of your Holy Spirit in our midst, O Lord.
Yes, amen, Lord.
And we realize more and more that that's the only way we can function.
Glory unto you.
Help us not to trust in our own strength, but help us to look to you for direction and for strength and for help in all things, O Lord. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
This morning we get the opportunity to take advantage of what the Lord's done and participate in communion. And we're going to have that opportunity in just a little while. Before we do that, could we get a couple singers up here and a pianist, please? We're going to need a little help. If you have to listen to me sing, it's going to be a short service.
I can sing a little bit, but I can't cover that.
He's got a big voice, but it's not big enough. A couple singers, please. I would like to sing this morning, "It's a Glorious Salvation." We sang that a couple nights ago. It's very fitting for a day where we get to participate in communion. When we were singing that the other night, I could just see Brother Patterson going back and forth on the stage up here, singing it with all of his heart. And it feels fitting for this morning that we start with glorious salvation. The Lord's given us a wonderful day. We've heard some encouraging testimony. We're expecting the Lord to meet a need at the mill. And we have a lot to be thankful for today. Praise God.
Salvation, so wide and broad way, punishes time upon my pain.
Just a little background on that song. That song was written by Brad Stinson. And he was feeling a little discouraged and a little like, where's my life going? And, you know, what am I doing for you, Lord? And what can I do? And the Lord gave him that song, and it lays out exactly what we need to know every day. And the Lord needs every last one of us to have that deep in our heart. That we are a vital part of his plan. Amen. The plan that he made for man. The plan that he made to reconcile this earth back to him. Amen. And don't ever be discouraged in your heart because life is tough. As Greg testified this morning, often when life is the darkest, the light is going to break forth. Amen. But, you know, that's on a personal level. But the earth is waiting for the light that is in your heart to break forth. You have within your heart the very living Christ. Hallelujah. You have the Holy Spirit to teach you every day who that Christ is. And that is something that you cannot take away. It's not a selfish thing. It's a giving thing because that's who Christ is. We need him. I need him and you need him. But imagine that the very creator of this universe would give his very son for you. You have a value that you cannot imagine. Do not ever be discouraged about what's going on in your life, because he's got you right there. You're in the palm of his hand. There is nothing that can come against you that he will not bring you through. You know, I know that death is a scary thing, but death is not a victory when you have him in your life. Death is conquered because Christ already died, and you live in him, and the life that he gives is in you, and you are no longer bound by death. You are no longer bound by sin. You are living. You are a living example of the life of Christ.
Hallelujah.
And all you need to do is spend time with him, get to know exactly who he is. It's why the Spirit came. He came so the Spirit, he left so the Spirit would come. And when the Spirit is in your heart, it will give you every bit of wisdom, knowledge, understanding that you need. They don't may not be your gifts, but they are there for you.
Hallelujah.
You will know who he is, and you will move at his command.
Hallelujah.
We can't move without him.
Right.
We have to know who he is. He has to change your heart to that place where we become exactly like him.
Hallelujah.
And it's not a mystery. The mystery is to those who don't know him. If you know him, your heart can be changed. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. That's what we've been experiencing this week, a change of hearts.
Hallelujah.
Our hearts are becoming mature in him. They're getting to know who he is. They're beginning to move as he moves.
Yes.
We're going to walk as he would walk. We're going to do as he would do.
Yes.
We have victory. We have life. A song that came to me that has kind of been going over in my heart this morning is Change My Heart, O God. You know, and he's changing our hearts. You know, but we're not there yet, but it's not far off.
Thank you, Lord.
It is right at hand.
Hallelujah, Lord. It is time for the saints to take the kingdom. It is time. It is time.
It is time for the saints to take the kingdom.
It is time.
Thank you.
Several Sundays ago, I had an experience that I thought I'd like to share with you. We'd had a particularly wonderful service that Sunday morning. The Spirit had flown just like it's flowing here now. We finished service and we went home and we played out in the front yard. And the neighbors came out. And I stood there holding my youngest girl with my family in the front yard and the neighbors. And it just felt like the Spirit was still with me that day. We had dinner, and it felt like it was still with me. My wife took the girls to go upstairs. I was doing the dishes, and it felt like the Spirit was still with me. And I turned the radio on, and I put some music on, and I felt like the Spirit was still with me. And I was singing at the top of the lungs in the kitchen because the Spirit was still with me. As I'm sitting there in the kitchen, standing there in the kitchen, doing dishes, singing praises to God, I thought, is this what the kingdom is like?
Amen.
Right there. Amen. Is it right here? Is it right now?
Amen.
Did I just step a little bit closer?
Yes.
Did I just get just a little bit closer to the kingdom that night, day, that evening?
Hallelujah.
Are we not just a little bit closer to the kingdom right here,
yes,
right now? I
want
to go on in the kingdom. Lead me on.
Amen.
I don't think it's going to be a big jump to the kingdom. I think it's a step, a day. Now, I'm going to give you the whole confession. The next day wasn't the same. I did not feel as close to God that Sunday as I did on Monday morning when I went to work. But I felt closer in general. And then the next service, we had another great service. And now here we are at camp, and I feel like we're just a little bit closer to the kingdom. When you leave camp, take a piece of the kingdom with you in the car. Don't try and just take it home. Take the next step. Take it in the car with you. Just get in the car with the Spirit and just drive. See if you can get 100 feet with the Spirit. Because, you know, He is the God of now.
Yes.
Amen.
Don't worry about what happened yesterday. That's gone. Don't worry about tomorrow. He's got that taken care of too. You got to worry about right now. He is the God of the present. Get in the car, drive 100 yards, and pray that He's with you for the next 100 yards.
Amen.
I want to go on in the kingdom.
Amen.
Who wants to come with me?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
If I could just add one thought to that admonition or exhortation. Smith Wigglesworth was a wonderfully fruitful brother in the Lord, and many places in the world are still blessed by his walk with the Lord. And he always seemed to have spiritual resources. He seemed to walk in the Spirit in a wonderful way. One day they asked him a question. How is it that you seem to stay in the Spirit so much, so often? And he said something that is so profoundly valuable. I wish I could live it out, but he simply said, most Christians pray to get into the Spirit. He says, I pray when I sense I'm leaving the Spirit. And that is, to me, such a wonderful truth, that to be able to get in our cars and take a bit of that Spirit with us. You know, we need to be alert and sensitive to the things that we say and do that take us out of the Spirit. And if we can become aware of that and then enter into prayer and get back in the Spirit, and then we could start to live in the Spirit more and more and more every day and step right in. Amen.
You can be seated. Brother Sergeant Grant, if we're going to lead communion.
So wonderful to be in the congregation of the righteous. Amen?
Amen.
You feel righteous this morning? I feel a little more righteous. Just being amongst all the ministry that's been flowing out and just washing over us. You know, he says he has made us righteous. And you know, he says that when we lift our hands, we are lifting holy hands. And we make those decisions to make sure that when we lift them, they're holy. Amen? Amen? We present our hearts and our lives unto Him. And it's just been wonderful to be here. Brother Nick here, he gave me a little piece of advice yesterday after I happened to be the one voluntold to help out with the communion this morning. He said, you know, I was told if... This is when he was first set in as an elder. He said, I was at this camp and his uncle told him, if you just stare down at your shoes, they won't pick you. And I said, well, thank you for the advice. And I don't think it worked for him this morning because he was up here. But, you know, all joking aside, you know, I don't know anyone here that really wants to be up here because we don't want to step out of what God is doing. And He has just been moving so wonderfully in our midst. We don't want to hinder anything that He has done. And we just pray that the Lord would just add. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, me and Brother Sergeant here, we discussed a little bit, and we both maybe have a little bit of something to share with you that the Lord has placed on our hearts along the lines of communion. Now, what He has on His heart, we didn't confer what we had. We just want to add to what the Spirit is sharing. Now, what I seem to have is a little bit different than maybe the normal communion message. And maybe Brother Sergeant will fill in some of that stuff. But I'd just like to start by saying I really appreciate how the brethren have exhorted us to wear our Sunday best this Friday morning because we are partaking of the Holy Communion. You know, in Leviticus, when it talks about the priests that would partake of the sin offering, it said that it is a most holy thing that they are partaking of. A most holy thing. It says when they would partake of that sin offering, they would partake of it with unleavened bread. And they would be beside the altar in the holy place. Because it was a most holy thing that was happening. Amen. When they would partake of that offering, when they would partake of that, I'll just read a little bit because it'll say it better than I can. The priests were to eat it to bear the iniquity of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord. Jesus Christ became that final, perfect Paschal Lamb. Amen?
Amen?
And you know, we have an opportunity when we come and we partake of communion. We come as priests. We come and we partake of that which Christ has done. Amen? And it is a most holy thing. And I really appreciate also how the Lord has led the brethren over the years in the order of the communion. That after the communion we partake, we also, after the communion, after we partake of the bread and the blood, we offer our tithes and offerings. And you know, when I read in the scriptures, there's two ordinances, or maybe more, but there's two ordinances that use the same description of a most holy thing. One is the bread and the wine. That's a most holy thing. And the other thing that I've read is that the tithe that we bring is a most holy thing that we can present to the Lord. And I thought, as I've been reading that, I just thought, what a perfect balance. We come and we partake of that provision from the Lord. He has given us this. And we can come and we give of that most holy thing out of our house. Isn't that amazing? It's just wonderful. And one little tidbit. It says in Deuteronomy 26, and I would encourage you all to read that whole chapter. It's all about tithing. And it really changed my attitude towards tithing and gave me a perspective on what it's really about. But it says that when they would lay their tithe down, it said that they would worship the Lord. And then it said they would rejoice in all that the Lord has done. But you can read through that. I don't want to take too much time with that. I really appreciate also, so I appreciated how the brethren have encouraged us to present ourselves in a worthy way, as this is the most holy thing. Another thing that I really appreciate is how the Spirit's been already talking to us about examining our hearts. He's already been working on us. We heard a great message already on examination by our brother Chris last night. One thing I would like to just say is Brother Price, he opened this week talking about four areas of responsibility. And as I was meditating on that, I thought that could also be four areas of examination. As we're examining ourselves, those are the four. It's bigger than that, but we can break it down in that as well. I don't know if you've ever struggled or you've sat there holding the communion and maybe you felt, you know, things are going pretty good in my life right now. There's not too much I'm struggling with. But, you know, if we could start just really asking the Lord to show what in all these four areas, hey, Lord, where do you need me to come up a little higher? Where do you need me to tighten things up a little bit? Another thing that, just a word of encouragement to you, something that the Lord seemed to impress on me months ago, it's quite some time ago, as I was partaking of the communion and examining myself. You know, there was a time, me and Rebecca were going through a bit of a, not a struggle, but kind of a little bit of a dryness, and there were some other things, and the Lord just seemed to impress on me, you know, I can lay this before the Lord as well. You know, it's not just these personal sins that beset us, but things that we really want the Lord to help us with.
Amen.
Jesus came to give us life, amen?
Amen?
And to make a way for us, amen?
Amen?
And when we come to the communion table, we can ask Him, Lord, You take this thing over that I just can't seem to do right.
Amen.
And let Him start to work. You know, we've read in the Scriptures, I'm not sure exactly where it's found, that, you know, if you come and bring an offering unto the Lord and you have aught with your brother, He said, you know, you go make that right first, then come and bring your offering to the Lord. And I have an example of something that happened very recently. We were traveling and we were in an assembly that we haven't got to in a long time. And there's some good friends of mine there. Rebecca wasn't as familiar with some of the people in the assembly. And there was something that happened a number of years ago that I thought was all gone and done with. It didn't cross my mind once that there's an issue there. But the Lord seemed to bring it up. And He used my wife to help bring it up. And I thought, no, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. I walked into that service and ran into this person, and immediately I knew. In my spirit, I knew there was still something there. And it bothered me that the whole first half of the service, because I couldn't, I don't know, you're probably all like this, I couldn't stand feeling like someone had something against me. Because I certainly didn't have anything against them. I thought it was all gone and done with. It bothered me so bad I could hardly enter in to singing. Singing the Spirit came, I could hardly enter in. all I could do was pray for that person. I just prayed and prayed and prayed. I was praying for me too. Lord, if there's something you want me to do, you let me know. And there was an opportunity for me to share a little something. And it was amazing how the Lord worked. The moment I stood up and I locked eyes with this person, I knew it was done. Amen. They could not take their eyes off me, it seemed. And not that they were looking at me, but there was just that flow of the Spirit. And their smile was from ear to ear. And as soon as that service was done, I went right for them. I wanted to make sure. There was the warmest hug. And we just fellowshiped like we did years ago. And you know, this person and my wife exchanged numbers. And we're getting together soon. And I thought, praise God. That's what we need. We do not need any more division. And you know, there's things we might not even be aware of. But we need to be sensitive when the Lord does make us aware of it. And to move. Seems like the Lord has been really taking us up this week. And this... I have one thing I wanted to just share quickly before I get into this. I won't be much longer. When there's someone visiting in our local assembly that we don't recognize or don't know, we just welcome them with open arms. If they aren't members of the body of Christ, hopefully they will be soon.
Amen.
And when it comes time for communion, we want to make sure that everyone knows they're welcome to partake. And there's only kind of two requirements. One we all really know, and that's, you know, you need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And number two, which I think is important as well, is that we need to be sensitive and aware and make sure that we are walking in a way that is honoring to God's Word. That our lives are in line with His Word. And I appreciate something that was said at camp. And they said that the communion is a time to bring our lives in line with His Word. And, you know, we may have some strong convictions or thoughts or philosophies, but we must be careful that these things are in line with God's Word. And we just need to come with an open heart and help them to close our mind a little bit, maybe. But to show us where we're maybe a little off from God's Word. And having said that, I'd like to read one scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I had read this before, but I never really equated it to the communion table. It's 1 Corinthians 10. I'm going to start in verse 15. And I like how it starts here. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. And as I'm reading this, I want you to judge. Not to judge me or to judge the words, but to judge ourselves as the Spirit moves and speaks to us. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Aren't you who partake of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? And I understand that Paul is talking about, you know, food that is being offered to idols. But I feel the Lord is, He seemed to touch something which I don't, and it seems to be maybe a little new to me, and I appreciate the brethren, the covering that is here, and they'll correct me if there's something a little off, and correct me publicly so you all know. Is there anything in our life that may be provoking the Lord to jealousy? Is there something? Maybe it's an idol. There's some pretty strong language said here. If you partake of a cup of blessing, or if you partake of the cup of devils, you cannot partake of the cup of blessing. And many times we read over these things and say, that doesn't apply to me. There's no way I'm partaking of the table of the devils, right? God is bringing us up higher. He does not want us to be ignorant, but He wants us to have an open heart and to ask Him, Lord, is there something in my life that is just causing me not to be worthy of partaking? You know, I know Christ is full of grace and mercy and He makes us worthy, but He also gives us responsibility to move on. Amen?
Amen.
I do not want to provoke the Lord unto jealousy. Amen. And I think there probably are some things in there where He says, I want a little more of you here. And I do not want that in your life anymore. Amen. For you are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to finish with this last verse. It's verse 23. All things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. God has given us so much freedom. We have been blessed with many things. You know, there's some stuff that may be not too bad either in our life. But He wants us, as this passage that I started begins, you judge. You're wise men. You judge yourself. You may say, I can do really whatever I want. I'm under grace. But is it beneficial? Does it edify? Does it move us on? Does it promote the Spirit of God to rest with us and to continue on after church on Sunday? As Brother Dave just exhorted us. I'm so thankful that He is moving us on.
Amen.
And let's just never get complacent. And I'm talking to myself when it comes to the communion table and what God is working out in His people.
Yeah.
Brother Mark.
Yes, Lord. What a wonderful guy to work with. We got together just for a few minutes last night, and we never said nothing too much. But you know what brought back memories of Victor and myself? And it wasn't an emotional or a physical thing or a mental thing. But somehow, I think it's what we call knowing in your heart.
Yeah.
And since we're both ministering together, unity is so important.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's the point of two people or three people or maybe seven people up here ministering? Not necessarily unity. And I thought, what is that? It wasn't a feeling, but I knew it was something. And then I thought about it, and I thought, I know what it is. It's life. It is life. Bless the Lord. And that's what this table is this morning. We all eat at the same table, the Lord Jesus. We're all partakers. In one sense, we're individuals. In one sense, we're not. Bless the Lord. Glory to God. And I'm not going to read a lot of scriptures this morning. And if Chris had read tons last night, we didn't have much time. I know I would have been fine with that. And I just would say don't. I would suggest to people that get up to speak, don't worry about stealing anybody's thunder. Go ahead. I mean, I think that's the way I see it. If God has something else, he'll bring it up. Bless the Lord. Glory to God. And our brothers already mentioned what a wonderful privilege and honor it is for us to partake of the communion. And I'll speak a bit on that line, and you've heard this before. If you were to go, say, to see any, even an earthly king in his majesty, and he invited you in for a visit, you would show such great reverence. You would be in awe, and you would be thankful, and you would appreciate it, and say to him, thank you, your majesty, her majesty or his majesty. You wouldn't say, sir, even. And that's the way we should look at the communion. And I know this happens, and I think it happens to all of us with a lot of things. They become common, and we've heard that taught before. We're never bringing you anything new, but it can have life when we say it if God anoints it. And I'm just going to turn to one scripture, and you can turn if you want. It's in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, and not generally considered a communion scripture, but I think it is. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Everybody beat me to the page. Probably because I'm up here. I'm usually pretty quick. And I know it by heart. But I thought I'm going to get up front and I won't know it by heart. I'll not get it quite right. It says here, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And I've often thought, I would think that's plenty good, but it's got more. It's got more. It says, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Am I so glad for those words? So it's just like the Lord, he gives you always more than you deserve. Much more, bless the Lord. Glory to God. Bless God. And so I was thinking when we're partaking of the communion, I'm glad you read that Corinthians one. I had a few more marked down. I didn't really want to read scriptures today. I was hoping he would, but I'm glad he didn't. bless the Lord. But the scripture does exhort us to, before we partake of the communion, to examine ourselves. So I think this verse 9 is very important. Because when we examine ourselves and we ask for forgiveness, he will forgive us and he'll cleanse you then. So you are cleansed and you are welcome to partake of the communion. Welcome to partake of the communion. Bless the Lord. And I got some more thoughts, but I'm not going to go there today and I'll drop it. But I think you gave a wonderful message. You're a great guy to have with me. He really is. Bless the Lord. We need 4 deacons. I don't know. Is it just they're going to volunteer for us? Or? Okay, we need 4 volunteer deacons and down here. And somebody has to have the little mic so when we pray we can do that.
One time, and we had a couple of people in. We prayed for a while. So.
We
I said I'm still a deacon. Is this on? It is? Okay. And, well, the more offices, the more blessed. Bless God.
Praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this provision that you have given unto your body. Dear Lord, just as Jesus said, take heed, for this is my flesh. And when you eat my flesh, I will be living in you and you will be living in me. Dear Lord, let this become reality to us, O Father. Dear Lord, we pray that as we break this bread, that as this portion of your body partakes together, that we would be partaking of that one single loaf, and that we would be drawn one to another and drawn unto the Father. Dear Lord, I pray, O God, that you would be our provision, that we would come only unto you. Father, as we examine our hearts, Lord, speak to us, speak to your people, and let that life-giving flow wash away all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
as God's scripture says, to examine yourself before you partake. And as we were told earlier in the week, don't wait till the end of service. You can do that before service, during the service. Sometimes we waited because people have asked us at home. Sometimes they like us to wait. But it shouldn't be necessary, because when it's being distributed, and you have to, how long does it take to say, Lord, forgive me? Shall we partake together? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, we so thank you for that tremendous sacrifice that we can't even imagine, that you made on our behalf by shedding your blood. Lord God, in the Old Testament, we made sacrifices unto you, but now you decided to make one for us. How phenomenal and hard that is to understand, and how we are blessed, and how we should love you and worship you. Hallelujah. We thank you for this table that you said to do in remembrance of you. We thank you, Lord God, because it is your ordinance that we have authority, and that when we pray, you will bless it. And we ask your blessing of your wonderful Holy Spirit upon it now, in Jesus' name. Amen. If anybody was missed, just raise your hand. And we're not taking an offering per usual today, but John wanted to share a verse. I might say something else.
I was just thinking about the widows and orphans and there's some widows and orphans in this room, and there's some in our communities. So I just want to read the verse in James, and it was kind of related to something that Grant was saying. In James 1, verse 27, it says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." And if you think about the Last Supper, the disciples were given the cup and the bread. And after that, Judas Iscariot became more spotted with the world. And, you know, sometimes after communion, if we're not examining ourselves, we can be spotted with the world. Just wanted to encourage you this morning that we remain unspotted from the world, because it can come really quickly, very quickly. So anyways, just want to encourage you in that, that we do a lot of examining before, examining after, and let's remain unspotted from the world.
Thank you. A couple more thoughts. And one I had earlier and I didn't mention, you know, when something like the communion table becomes common to you, and a lot of things kind of do in your feelings, gets us over and over, before you take communion, ask God to help you with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There may be things you don't think you should, you have to have any necessity of doing, but that is one that would be good, because it's a common, I know it's a common problem. We're human. Many wonderful things, we've sat under such wonderful ministries and had such wonderful revelation, but I have to admit, sometimes it gets common. It does. So that's another thing you can kind of leave before the Lord. And as Paul wrote in Romans, that the things I want to do I can't do, and the things I don't want to do I do, but it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth within me. So we do examine ourselves. You may even shed some tears, and that's fine, but I don't want you to beat yourself up. There's a difference. You can shed some tears. You can feel that tremendous ache in your heart. But remember inside that it is not you, but it's sin that dwells in you. And there's only one who can take care of that.
Amen.
Only one. Another thing, I just want to say something about the blood. You may know more about blood than I do. But I know one thing. The blood carries the nutrients and the oxygen and everything to my body. The blood is life. The blood is life. I know it does something else. It takes all the wastes and gets rid of them. So when I pray, I'm forgiven and get life. And then also I get cleansed, as I said in Mark, the ninth chapter. I got there. Anyway, somebody else must be coming up or whatever.
I just felt led of the Spirit to share this song this week. I'm kind of nervous, but it's about unity, and that's what it's called. And thank you.
Thank you very much for that song. Praise the Lord. After another wonderful meeting, we look forward to a wonderful afternoon. So we're going to ask for any announcements to be made. We were thinking of how Hazel and I were just thinking of how we missed Daryl Martz. And we've appreciated having Jeff assisting Daryl last year and working in that role this year, and certainly appreciate that. But we certainly miss Daryl, and he took care of all the financial management of the and room placements in this camp for many, many years, and he's had an accident. He had a fall, so he couldn't come. Otherwise, he would have been here. But we were thinking of that, and I just wanted to mention it so that the rest of us remember Daryl, and maybe if he comes to your mind, he and Pat come to your mind, just remember them in prayer. Praise the Lord.
The young people will meet again at 1:30 over here, and then we have a basketball tournament that everyone is invited to. Adults usually will have a competition between the adults and the young people, and that'll be at 2:30 behind there. So if you want to meet a little bit before 2:30 so we can get teams situated and stuff, that'd be good.
The children are in the same spot as yesterday, same times, 3:30, preschoolers, 4 o'clock, 6 to 12.
Oh, yes. I was just reminded that we have talked about water baptism to some extent, and what has happened here is that we have the, as it been mentioned, we have the facilities to do that, and we welcome anyone who feels that they feels to be that it's time for them to be baptized in water. And so we usually plan on having it on Thursday afternoon or Friday afternoon or Saturday afternoon. So no one has come forward so far, but we still have, we wouldn't have it this afternoon now because we need just a little bit of time for preparation. But if there's still someone who wants to be baptized in water, please come forward. Let us know today, please, and then it would happen tomorrow. So, okay. Anything else? Yeah.
Raise your hand if you believe that God has created all the nature around us. Good, so you're invited to a nature tour. Notice the word tour. It won't be a hike going up mountains and whatever, and it won't be it won't even be a walk. What we're planning on is having some vehicles. David Zwack and I have prepared a couple days to get you some things that I think you would really enjoy and get to know things about the creation around this area. And so we're thinking of traveling with cars, air conditioned, in case it's hot, in case it rains, but maybe not. But anyways, so we're just kind of like a tour. We'd get out and walk around, so it won't be too hard on anybody who would like to do that. And there'll be things like, if you're in the woods, there's a little poem that'll help you remember about the berries, whether they're great to eat or they're poisonous. And we'll talk a little bit more about things like that, too. If you like to fish, we'll tell you how the insects and the plants are related to give you the best fish possible. And if you like to hunt, we'll give you a few clues about how it all relates together. And there is actually a place here that it's a plant that the grizzly bears love that I could point out to you. And there's other things, eagles and turkeys and plants and so on. And a bumblebee, a special bumblebee, right? Insects. What's that? Oh, I thought you said bees. Well, we were thinking about doing it tomorrow unless there's a baptismal service, and then we would just do that after. We'd make sure it doesn't interfere. So, 2 o'clock tomorrow? Okay, thanks.
You're dismissed.